Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 36 is coming at you. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. This episode is entitled, Don't Choke on Your Aspirations. That's right, the Rogue One reference is here for episode number 36. Gotta use it. Lots of great stuff to talk about. This week, we're going to have a full discussion topic on Arkham Horror LCG. We're going to be talking about our 10x10s and our aspirations for this year, what we want to do for our 10x10s. It's going to be a super exciting episode, so thanks so much for joining us. If you don't know, Portal Gaming Podcast is part of the Dice Tower Network. We are a proud member. And also, it is brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com, or you can check us out on Facebook under The Portal, and you can message us there. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at PortalGaming60. Wow, that's a lot of information. That's my longest opening ever. Super exciting. Glad to be doing episode number 36. I am your host, The Brant, and with me, as always, is...
your co-host, Brian.
And you would think that I would not be in a good mood, because not but an hour ago, the lowly Cowboys lost to the Packers in a pretty epic game, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, but we move on, we get to talk about board games, so your Patriots won.
Yeah, but don't make this about football. I feel like the Patriots can be a pretty...
hot topic?
Well, yeah, I mean, people might be shutting us off now,
oh,
right?
Gotcha,
I don't know
gotcha.
How much support there is out there, but...
yes, well, you can let me know if you're... Cowboys are probably even more divisive than Patriots. I mean, I guess around here it could depend if you have Jets or Giants fans, but there's that. So, how you doing otherwise, Brian?
Yeah, good. You know, getting a bit more gaming in recently, so that's been nice, but it's getting to that point where we're caught up from like the Christmas rush and all that sort of stuff, so trying to get back into a groove with like our regular game group and whatnot has been, you know, like it's starting to kick in.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, doing well now. I feel like I've been sick for like 2.5-3 weeks. That last episode I listened back and I sounded deplorable. Like, I feel bad for people having to listen, but we had to put something out. It had been like a month, so I'm glad we did. So we're coming at this one like I think just a week after or so. So
yeah, it was,
that'll be good.
Shorter turnaround
than
normal.
But... try to get back on track and everything, and I'm starting to feel better, although it just keeps going through my system and my family, so we'll have to see where we go from there. But yeah, lots of good things happening, coming up. We just got The Colonists into the store, so I've been digging that one out, organizing through, and I got to play a solo game through several eras. This is, I mean, it says it's 6 hours on the box. Heard rumors of like 10 hours. People playing, it's in my bag.
Yeah.
I was going to show it to you today, so I brought it with me. But, so maybe we'll play through a couple eras of that after we finish up this or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Have to see, so I'm excited for that one. Nice heavy euro for a nice heavy hearted night.
So we'll just talk quickly to
Cowboys
get to the
lost.
Game. Yeah.
We'll keep bringing that up. All right. So anyway, we have kind of just one upcoming event, although there's nothing I want to highlight in here. So we got the Silk City Board Game Group on Saturday, January 21st from 12 to 4:30. And actually called my parents a little while ago to lock in, so I definitely can make it to that because I'll watch my daughter. So I will be there, and I believe I'm teaching Ghost Stories, which one of my top 10 games of all time. If it's not in the top 10 anymore, it'll definitely be top 20. I love Ghost Stories, and I love watching people die in Ghost Stories because they aren't sure how to make their decisions. So, Tom and Melody Vassell played this recently live, and it was really interesting because they were just dying horribly, and you thought the game was going to be done. Then all of a sudden, they went on a hot streak of like rolling dice, just kind of random, and then came all the way back and managed to win the game at the end.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy, so it was really fun. They were excited. So that was neat to watch. And I think it's a little less luck and dice-based than people. It's almost like dice are a last resort, but sometimes people just like, well, if I roll three of the same color here, I'll win. But we'll see how people do at the library. So you can check that out at the Silk City Board Game Group. They had some other stuff. I know they've got a Facebook page you can join there. I don't remember. They're kind of going like Blast from the Past kind of games.
Yeah, what was the... So, Ra was going to be one of the ones. Mm-hmm. Chimera, the designer for that, was going to be out there.
Yep.
And then there was one more... I'd have to look at it. Yeah, I mean, there's one more. I mean, there's it's definitely, like, some of the older ones, so we're kind of refreshing people. You know, a lot of people seem to be kind of, you know, at least relatively new to the hobby that have been playing there, so... So we're getting some of the stuff that's been, like, tried and true, sort of.
Nice. Yeah, so that event's going on. Then also, I don't know the date, but I know that the store is hosting a Star Wars Destiny tournament. And a lot of people have been looking for Star Wars Destiny, which we got back in stock, and I assume quickly went out of stock again. Is there a little bit there?
I'd imagine it's out of
stock. It's probably gone again. So it comes in, and then it goes, because we just... Yeah, they're just not printing enough, and people are loving that game. So I got a chance to play that, actually. I think I talked about that in the last podcast. And so there'll be a tournament for that in February. I think it's early February. So you could go to the Facebook page if you're interested in that and check that out. But I know a lot of people are playing Star Wars Destiny or interested in Star Wars Destiny. And so that should be something to check out, to like, kind of the first tournament at the store for all that stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so people are enjoying that. Any other announcements, upcoming events?
No, I mean, like you were saying, just check out what we've got going on. Like, just our normal events are going consistently. The board game meetup has been really great. Like, there's been a huge turnout, like, Thursday nights at the store, as well as, I believe, Sundays. Or they meet Sundays. I haven't been making it to Sundays, but I've been there Thursday nights. So that's been great. And, you know, those 2 days at the store have been really consistent, too. So, yeah, just stop by if you're interested in checking it out and playing some games.
Nice. So those are the upcoming events. Check them out. Let's go to what's on our table. So I bought a copy of Pandemic Legacy. No spoilers, I promise, for my family. So I've been playing Kathy, Zephyr, and I, and I opened up the red box this time, which is totally and completely the same as the blue box. So we've been playing through this, and Zephyr adores this game. She loves it. She's pretty good at it. The interesting part, and I notice this sometimes, she could care less if I tell her what to do on her turn. Like, it doesn't bother her. So I try not to, and I try to help her to think of, like, what things we should do. And she'll have good ideas, because she's starting as we play. Like, the repetition helps her to understand. So she's like, oh, I could move here, and I could remove these cubes. Like, she's got that down. I mean, that part is, you know, she's pretty good with games, so that part's not too bad. Or she knows how many cards she needs to cure. She knows, like, we could pass cards in the same city. So the actual, like, strategy for her to, like, plan and get us to the end result, but each individual, like, tactical decision she's pretty good with. So she's doing well. And I mean, when we get to the end of a month or nearing the end of a month, like, when she hears us any hint of, hey, I think we're gonna win in a couple, can we open something? What do we get to open? She loves that part. And I forgot, because we played about maybe 2/3 of it, I want to say, and we haven't finished ours. I forgot how great of a job they do in letting you really dig into opening stuff early. Like that first, I guess this is spoilers. What, you're opening stuff, it's not a big deal.
You did say, like, very specifically.
I know. But, you know, that first month, you're opening stuff right away. And then as you finish things, like, there's rarely a month where it's like, hey, just go, you know? And you get to open a bunch of stuff and add new rules, and there's new things, and you're naming your characters. Oops, that's a spoiler. and all sorts of stuff. So it's just a blast. Like, that theme really comes through strong for a game that's very mechanically based and sound. That theme is just really good, and there's kind of an overarching story. I guess that's another spoiler happening. But we're just having a great time. So if you're out there, you're a gamer, have a family, It's just great. I do notice playing it, because sometimes my wife doesn't want to play, so it's just the two of us. I mean, it's a lot easier game with two people. And then even when we play three, it's pretty manageable. Mm-hmm. I suppose when we were playing with four, or even the time we played with, like, seven, because we put, like, couples and pairs or whatever, you know, and you're spreading out those cards a lot more. It's just a lot faster and a lot easier with two and three players, no doubt. But it moves. I mean, it says 60 minutes on the box, and with two, it doesn't take us 60 minutes. Right. With setup and playing and opening stuff, it's 60 minutes, so it's nice. So we've really been able to cruise through. I mean, I was really afraid of thinking of, like, oh my gosh, if these games get to, like, 90 minutes, she's going to get bored out of her mind. But they're like 30 minutes, you know, and 45 minutes sometimes. So anyway, really fun. Like I said, if you're a family or you got a group or whatever, I mean, if you haven't gotten yourself the Pandemic Legacy, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. You need that consistent group. And I think it works better almost like in a family setting or, yeah. I don't know, that group will just commit to do it in a shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. I think just saying we're just going to knock this out, boom, 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 you know, three sessions at a time till we get through is probably a good idea because I think it just keeps it moving and keeps it interesting. So that's that, Pandemic Legacy, Z-Man Games.
Nice. So we did have a bit of a shorter turnaround from our last podcast, but I have gotten a few plays in of one game, and that's Great Western Trail from Stronghold Games. We did a, I believe we reviewed this one, or mentioned it a few episodes ago, so I'm not going to get into the details on it, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, let you guys know, like, I've played it, three and four players a bunch now, and I think this bumps up in my, like, in my rating just based on the, like, the ones that I've done recently. I don't know. The two-player game, I wasn't as big a fan of, but with the higher player counts, this one's really jumped to the top of my list for 2016. So, Great Western Trail, I think, you know, if we did the, like, our top five games of 2016 now, I would even be switching it up based on those plays that I've had recently of this. You know, it really fleshed it out a little bit more with, like, all these different options. And, you know, we had a couple people competing for first in most of the games. And they were kind of getting there with different strategies. So, I don't know. Have you played Great Western Trail again since? Not really, right? You've been playing some
No, I did. Yeah, I played with Kathy last week.
Okay.
So, again, that was two-player.
Yeah.
So, I don't mind the two-player experience, and it's pretty quick. It's 90 minutes, which is really refreshing. But the issues I've seen is there are not enough cows in the cow market. Like, there's seven, and so we had the point where there wasn't a purple cow, which are, like, the fives that are more expensive and more points and everything. And that was frustrating. Like, then one finally popped up, Kathy bought it, another one never came out. So that was interesting. Then, like, trying to build buildings to block to get money just doesn't work in two. Like, there's just not enough paths to block to ensure that you'll get that. So that's a little frustrating in two-player. And there was something else that I can't think of, but just like the workers that come out become even more limited.
Yeah.
Like, there's even higher odds that, there won't be any cowhands or cowboys or whatever in terms of that. So, anyway, you were saying about Great Western Trail, though. I took your spot.
Oh, no, I wanted you to jump in. I mean, this one's definitely, like, I want to get this back to the table with three and four again. I don't know, with two players, I'm not necessarily going to be itching to get it right back out, but three and four players, it's going to be coming back to the table shortly. And I don't say that about many games because we've got to, you know, jump around and play all these other new games. Well, I guess we don't have to, but that's kind of where we're at. We're trying to try all these ones and see what's going on and, you know, just learn a bunch of new games. But this one's really made Great Western Trail kind of get back to the table. And, you know, I want to play it again soon with that higher player count.
I'm pulling a Rich Summer, and I'm walking away from the microphone and then screaming back at it. Now I'm not screaming anymore. Yeah, no, I definitely want to play it. I've been teaching it a lot, like at the store and at things. In fact, the other night we almost could have had three copies running.
Yeah.
People were just totally interested in playing it. So it's a great game. I'm really interested in getting some people, not, you know, just that are really like the Great Western Trail, to play Terraforming Mars. I still think I like Terraforming Mars better with all the recent, but I mean, you know, it starts to become, who cares? Like, they're both great games.
Yeah.
You know, you start to argue for what the number one game is. It's like, I don't care. There's just two great games. If somebody says, I don't want to play this one, I want to play that one, I'll play that one. Like, you know, I'm pretty omni-gamer. I'm pretty happy, you know. And it's neat to see a game hit the table multiple times because it's just something that, you know, we're not always doing best. Of course, we're going to talk about 10x10s later, so that'll lead to that. But I have, like, with Terraforming Mars, I played that, like, 20 times, including solo. And that's not, like, you know, 18 solo, 2 plays. That's like 10 plays with people, 10 plays solo, something like that.
Yeah.
And I really like the build up in there. So I'd love to get back to the table, like the full game, which I did get one in with you and Dave Felgate, we played.
Yep.
So that was like the full thing.
So I still think that one's my favorite. But yeah, Great Western Trail seems great. Now it's kind of like, now I've got all these people who are playing it, and now I want to work on like, ooh, what strategy or what ways do you need to adapt to the board? Like learning that as opposed to just how do I get an engine and a system going?
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, a lot of the times with that game, it feels like we're playing with at least one new person, maybe a few. So it felt like it was kind of like, oh, we'll just set it up with the normal board state. All like the buildings are two-sided, so you can pick from A or B sides, but everyone's going to have the same iteration of those buildings. And it felt like every single time I'd been playing, like, you know, standard setup with A side buildings. And then, you know, we finally got it like saturated enough in the group where we switched it around, changed to the iteration of the buildings on the table, as well as like tried the B side of the buildings. And, you know, now we're kind of looking to probably mix and match, do some A, some B, and see what that does. But no, it definitely like it made it really stand out because it felt like there were, you know, multiple viable strategies to kind of, you know, get at least close to to victory. So it was totally worth it, and I want to get this back.
Alexander Pfister, man, it's amazing. It's just like everything he touches is gold. It's just, you know, you feel bad saying you're waiting for something to not be good, but it's just, you know, we were just playing Broom Service the other day. And that, you know, I've loved that game. That's really fun. Again, we have to get to the other side of the board on that because the one we played, I just kind of ran away with it.
Yeah.
But it's just a cool system either way. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that balances out. It doesn't necessarily compare to that. And then I want to get everybody to go play Mombasa again because that's still my favorite of those. And I want to see, and again, if people say, Mombasa's not my favorite, like Great Western Trail, okay, then let's play that. But I think Mombasa is still my favorite. There's like these hard decisions in
there. They're close now based on what I've played with Great Western Trail. Like, I thought it was Mombasa, like a clear runaway for my favorite from him. But I think just what I've been doing recently with Great Western Trail, like they're really close. And I couldn't tell you right now which one I like more. Obviously, like, Great Western Trail's fresh on my mind, and Mombasa is like, it was a little while ago. I felt like I've played that enough to have a good sense of it, though. So, you know, kind of back and forth, but I'd say both are top 10, top 20 games for me for, like, you know, out of everything.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And I wouldn't say this would crack that, but top 25, 30 is Port Royal.
Gotcha, yeah.
I love Port Royal, and that's so accessible. You can play that with anybody, and it's still got great decisions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're talking about a 10-minute per person card game. So, you know, at five, maybe runs 45 minutes.
You're saying Great Western Trail wouldn't break that? Or
wouldn't
Mombasa?
Beat that?
Yeah. Or Mombasa and...
Well, I think I think if you just asked me, I'd probably put Great Western Trail in the top... Oh, sorry, Mombasa in my top 10. Mm-hmm. Great Western Trail in my top 20, and then Port Royal would be like top 25. I think it'd be right there behind it.
Yeah,
all three of those are just so good. So, yeah. So let's get another Alexander Pfister game in the works and go with that. So, yeah. Cool. Great Western Trail, Stronghold Games, banner year. Stronghold Games. I realize I got a lot of plays of other things. And I played Venos, I played Tyrants of the Underdark again. But anyway, I'm just going to focus on the one I wrote on here, which is Beyond Baker Street, which we had played briefly at Gen Con, like pre-Gen Con in the hotel waiting.
Yeah.
So Beyond Baker Street is a Sherlock Holmes-themed card game from Z-Man Games, and it's totally a Hanabi clone. So Hanabi is the game where it's a co-op where everybody's cards are facing out. And it won Spiel des Jahres some year, Antoine Bauza. This is not Antoine Bauza, two other designers. And so they made a game with the same idea. You're holding cards facing other people, and now you have to give hints, which are now clues, like Sherlock trying to solve the mystery. And you're trying to get these cards arranged. So it really is kind of an abstract at the end of the day, but they slapped the theme on that. Which works pretty well. I mean, giving hints and clues to each other for Sherlock. Mm-hmm. They put some characters in there to give it flavor, you know, on the board. And you're trying to find the suspect, their motive, and their opportunity to do that. And then you're throwing cards that just, you know, wouldn't work for whatever that set is. They're all, like, color-based. And you're throwing the other cards into the impossible, which is the evidence you've, like, eliminated. And you have to get all the numbers to match. So if you've got a red 13... you've got to get the numbers in there. So a 6, a 5, and a 2 of red, and that'll make 13 in red, and go from there. So that's kind of that. Sorry, that's my dishwasher. well, hopefully it won't sound too bad on there. Anyway, so then you get these, and you have to kind of like verify or confirm all the evidence, and then you have to get a certain number of things in the impossible, and you win. So I took this to a night. Somebody was doing a game thing, and I mean, we just played it back to back to back. Like, it just kept coming out, or just staying on the table, I suppose. And we just kept playing it and adding more difficulty and adding more layers, which is the definite thing it has over Hanabi. You can increase the difficulty. You can change up characters. Characters can make the game easier or harder. And then every time you have different things that you're going for, not the same pattern. So, it was just a big hit. They were just loving it. And, so we were having a good time. So I really enjoyed that. It's kind of one of those games that now, you know, I'm looking to like have with me when I go play. I think it'll play up to 5. No, it just plays to 4. I think Hanabi might play 5, but that one just plays 4. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Played today actually. And it was kind of easy. Like, I was trying to introduce it, and I just set it up, like, way too easy. Like, the easiest level of difficulty with easy characters. And one of the characters is just way too easy, which is you can give 2 clues and only move Sherlock 1 space. And it was just stupid. Because, essentially, you have to tell somebody, like, the color of their cards and the numbers. But I could just say, that's a blue 6. Because there's 2 clues. So it's like, maybe if you have to get 2 clues to different people or something. I mean, it's intending to make it easier by doing that, but I kind of made it too easy, and then it just felt like dumb. Like, oh, play that card here.
Right.
It's just too much of a clue. Whereas when we were playing it the other night and upping the difficulty, you had to kind of be smart with your clues. Like, I'm going to tell you that's a 6. I'm hoping you recognize that we need to add 6 to this spot exactly, and you'll get my hint from there that I'm telling you that's the 6 we need, you know?
Right.
Or telling people these are 5s because they should go to the impossible because we want bigger number, whatever it is. So, you know, it kind of makes you a little bit more clever, whereas the one we played today, you didn't feel clever. It was just, hey, idiot, put that card here. And that wasn't as exciting. But, Beyond Baker Street from Z-Man Games, that's a really fun game. People haven't tried that, so.
Nice.
Anything else you played recently? Mostly just some Great Western Trail, huh?
Yeah, no, that's basically been it for the past, like, week or so.
Oh, I played Rebellion! I played Star Wars Rebellion, which I always complain I never get to play. And John wanted to play. John from a couple podcasts ago, store manager. And we played right on the counter at the store. You guys were playing Great Western Trail. We played right up there. It was great. People kept coming up. What are you playing? Oh, my gosh, Star Wars. Of course, with Rogue One coming up. Well, Star Wars doesn't need Rogue One to be popular. But, and it was great, and it came down to the final battle. I was Imperials, and I went to their hidden rebel base, and I won with 1 assault frigate left. And so the next day, I took a picture of an assault frigate and sent it to Ja. This was what destroyed you. It was great. It's super fun. I love that game. I still do, so get a chance to play. If anybody's looking to play Rebellion, I'm always down. I'm always down. We played it in 2 hours, just around 2+ hours, and that was with him still working the register, too, for all the customers, so it wasn't too bad.
And that wasn't that stressful, like, with that. I mean, it was pretty consistent with, like, you guys were playing pretty consistently throughout, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, the huge gaps where you just...
Oh, no, yeah, no, it was never a long gap that we had to do anything, and... We both played quick, so it just worked. Like, it wasn't, you know, there were times I was thinking a little bit, but I was able to just keep moving. And
yeah.
So.
That's one of those games that I think I might get back to the table someday, but
yeah,
it's not really a tangible, like, I don't know if I'm going to ever do that.
That last battle would not have been your cup of tea. I mean, it was a straight-up dice-rolling card fest, a la Axis and Allies or Warhammer, where we're roll like you max at 5 dice of each type, but we could have rolled 30 dice of each type. So it was just like, it was just an absolute war of attrition. Like, okay, I'm gonna kill that and that and that. I'm gonna block here and here so those stay alive. So now I'm down to 27 units from 30. Okay, then I'm gonna roll back at you. Okay, I kill that one unit, you're down to 29. Now we roll again. Okay, you go to 26. Like, and it just took a long time. And then eventually, when nobody has cards and somebody botches a roll really bad, then they drop off and went like that. But that that last battle, we rolled for like 20 minutes, you know, which I think definitely got into that part where people complain those battles are too long. But I mean, since it was the last battle, I thought it was great. Yeah. If that was a battle that didn't really mean anything, we just couldn't roll, I could see that being a little frustrating. So, yeah. Awesome. So that's what's on our table. Tell us what's on yours. Okay, so for our discussion topic today, we're going to talk about Arkham Horror LCG. We're going to do a full rundown of this thing, because last time we promised that we would have you play, and then we would talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think the perspective, and for me at least, I don't know where your perspective is, the reason I wanted you to play, we're huge, mega, giant Lord of the Rings LCG fans. I mean, we basically own whatever we can get our hands on, for right. the most part. I'm a little bit behind. You're probably mostly up to date. Mm. And we don't play quite as much as that, which is a little sad, although we played a little bit, you know, been trying, got to the table a little while ago and played a few with some people and introduced people. And I would still continue to introduce people because I just think it's a great game. It's definitely got a learning curve, you know, and it's definitely got card collection and other things. So anyway, Fantasy Flight made another LCG that is, you know, cooperative or soloable, just like Lord of the Rings. So, you know, it's roughly based on Lord of the Rings mechanics in terms of it's the same designer. They're definitely going for similar ideas, but the theme is different, and they changed it. And so just thought it'd be a good chance to comment. Now, I've been frustrated listening to people like on other podcasts and other places saying, oh, Arkham Horror LCG is so good, I'm getting rid of my Lord of the Rings cards. And I'm like, no, because Lord of the Rings is so good. So straight up, I'll just say, I played Arkham Horror. I'm not getting rid of my Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings is better, but I don't want to come across as like, Lord of the Rings is better and everyone should just stop Arkham Horror LCG, because I think there's some definite benefits there. So that's kind of my upfront, you know. Still like Lord of the Rings better, but I like Arkham Horror, and we'll break some of those things down, compare and contrast, and just try to talk about Arkham Horror, because I know there's a lot of people who haven't played Lord of the Rings at all. Mm-hmm. But what were your initial impressions on playing the Arkham Horror LCG?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was the core set that we played, because, you know, stuff's just starting to trickle in as far as, like, expansions and whatnot. But when we had played, the only thing basically was the core set plus like another scenario pack. But yeah, playing that first scenario was fun. I remember looking back at Lord of the Rings LCG, like playing that first mission that we played in the core set for that was kind of a... I wonder how that was... how close that was. I didn't go crazy about Lord of the Rings LCG off the first play of the base set. The core set, and I'd kind of say a similar thing about this one. You know, it was fun. Mm-hmm. I guess where I'd be coming from, at least they, like it seems like Fantasy Flight is pretty good about just clearing the slate, in a sense, where they'll take a game that they've like been, you know, iterating out and trying all these things for. They'll figure out a way to kind of start over and get it so it's a little more cohesive or a little bit more toward what they're trying to do. And, you know, that might very well be because they want to sell more of the same, you know, like they might want to try to do that. But I think they also learn as they go with a lot of these, you know, because with like with the Lord of the Rings, I haven't seen anything else that's like exactly like that, where it's just like the system that they put in place felt very much like they were figuring it out as they went. So, you know, if that gives Arkham Horror LCG a better, like, a better starting point with a more focused, like, a more focused goal on the expansions and stuff, that's great. You know, I would be totally for that. And in some ways, the biggest hindrance in getting Lord of the Rings LCG out is there's so much stuff to kind of, like, go through and organize and maintain, like, the maintenance for...
yeah.
Like, it becomes a hobby game in a sense, where you have to go through and you know, think through all these things, and you could completely focus on just playing that one game. So starting off with like a core set for a new game, you don't have to worry as much about, you know, all that maintenance that comes with something that's been established. So I think that would be a decent way to like to start off. And you know, I definitely want to see where it goes. If they can keep this system going and, you know, try out something even more, like, you know, more interesting. Like, there are definitely opportunities, but I'd say that still for both games, where they can keep trying to push the envelope or whatever, try to get it so it's like, so they're doing something that we weren't expecting, you know? So I'm glad that they're doing this, and maybe they can even kind of bounce stuff off of, like, maybe they can try to figure stuff out within this system to, like, bring back to the Lord of the Rings, so.
Right. So, back up from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you enjoy playing Arkham Horror LCG?
Yes.
Okay. So you had a good time. Because it's definitely more story-based than Lord of the Rings LCG, but I want to come back to that in a little bit. But, you know, it's a thematic game. Mm-hmm. And you're less of a thematic gamer than a lot of people. So, but the mechanisms of the game you enjoyed as well.
Yeah.
Your deck and how you move around and the drawing things and trying to, you know, progress on certain things while the things progressed. All that stuff was...
Yeah, I know when we were playing it felt a little strange that, like, that pool of tokens to draw from when you're trying, like, when you're basically testing out your, what is it? Like, when you're any trying to, like, check. Do any skill check, you're trying to pull from a pool of tokens to see what, like, the modifier is, to see if it's like, oh, you know, you get more toward that skill check, so you might pass based on that, or you get less, or something like that. Like, it's kind of changing up. It's just not a known, like, I'm questing or doing whatever for this amount. You've got that variability in there with the tokens. But I remember at a certain point, I guess I was kind of going into it based on the Lord of the Rings feel, where it's like, you know, doing this quest or something, like, if you fail it, it's a negative for
right,
you.
Right, right.
Whereas when in this system, it felt like we had to push it and try to get something that wasn't guaranteed as a successful.
Yeah, you're pushing quest. Your luck.
You're trying to do that.
And it's mitigated by giving you enough actions to do it.
Right. Like, it's not a negative to fail.
Yeah.
Like, all... There might be some. Like, I only played one scenario. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. You know, there weren't negatives to failing the ones that we were trying to do. And it was at a certain point, we weren't in a great position to successfully get, like, some of the objectives that we needed. So we really needed to, like, try and push it. We needed to get, like, one or two of those tokens out of the, like, what, 14 or so?
Mm-hmm.
We needed... So it was, like, 1 in 7 that we needed. And, you know, we tried it and failed a couple times and then finally succeeded and we ended up pulling through in the end. So, I don't know. It definitely takes you into a different sort of style of gameplay. It's not... Like you were saying, like, it's not exactly the same as the other,
right?
The Lord of the Rings LCG.
Yeah, we had two characters that, like, they were not highly skilled at investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Mine might have been a 2 or a 1, and you were like a 2, and so there's places that have like 2 shadow or what's the term, shroud, I think is the term. And so, you know, basically, if it was a 4, like, we were already at a -2, you needed to, like, play cards to boost. We're not going through the whole, like, how to play Arkham Horror LCG. Mm-hmm. So if it sounds interesting to you, you know, I certainly could explain more or whatever, but I'm not doing that now. But anyway, so then, you know, you had to draw a token, and almost all the tokens are minus, and there's a couple that are plus, and there's one that's, like, auto pass. Yeah. But even still, like, when you needed a +2, you basically had to draw, like, the one that gave you +2 from your ability or whatever. Yeah. Or I can't remember, maybe we needed a +1, maybe you did, and... So that was interesting, playing two characters that didn't have investigation, and that just was what we needed. Like,
yeah.
It didn't help to have somebody like, oh, I can cast spells, but I didn't draw a spell for a while. Now, some of that might be my own fault of, like, it allows you to you know, mulligan and draw a new hand, and I probably should have from the start. Like, I need to have a spell in my opening hand. But even still, killing things wasn't necessarily our needed thing. It was just this investigate, which, like you said, you could just sit there and just hammer through. Like, all right, I'm going to draw three tokens to see if... But it was interesting, like, we couldn't combine our skills. Like, that's what you do in Lord of the Rings. I know we're just going to inevitably make that comparison. But, like, you say, okay, I'm adding six to the questing, and I'm adding eight, so that's 14, and it's six. And then we draw cards to see that, like, you're almost above the differential, and it's coming right back at you. This was almost like you're at the differential, hoping that you can play the odds. Or you have no option. Like, you, because then you throw a card in to be like, I'll be plus one, and then you draw a plus one. And you're like, well, I didn't even need that card. So it'd almost be nice if you could play the cards afterward, you know, to, like, yeah, mitigate to, that, yeah, offset that. Like, okay, well, this is a good draw, and then maybe they'd consider that too easy, but that would give you some option, you know. So that was interesting. But
yeah, and I think some of the things that are most intriguing, like a couple of the bigger differences that I didn't really get to fully experience would be the, like, upgrading your deck as you go mm-hmm. along through, like, a campaign-style scenario. So I didn't get to do that. I only played the one time, so it would be interesting to see, like, how that changes your deck and affects what you do. And I didn't even get to play, like, are there weaknesses in your deck or flaws mm-hmm. or something yeah. like that? I didn't get any of those, and that's you know, that's a neat sort of thing that changed up from right. Lord of the Rings that, you know, may be fun. It might take some tweaking to, like, really make it a focus on a deck or something.
Now, again, they have those because they have the cards, like the treacheries that come out and get shuffled. Again, I'm thinking
you're
campaign
talking
mode.
Saga for...
Yeah, so they have that, and then they, you know, they come out and they surge, so there's another thing. Yeah. But yeah, again, it's still a neat thing that it goes in your own deck.
Right.
That's a neat twist, you know, to have a negative in your own deck. And, of yeah. course, it very much fits Arkham Horror. It doesn't fit Lord of the Rings so much. Like, Lord of the Rings doesn't have a huge focus on the flaws of people. I guess Boromir seems to be a flawed character, right? Like, Gollum, I suppose, is a flawed character. But overall, you know, they're mostly heroes. Whereas, like, Arkham is totally all about, like, and then more bad stuff happened. And then more bad stuff happened, so... but I agree with you. That's a great place where they, like, truly streamline Lord of the Rings. Like, they took their saga system of, oh, because you add cards in the campaign mode of Lord of the Rings, but it's very, like you said, like, okay, now everybody adds a card, but you got to keep track of where all those are. You know, this is very simple in that, oh, there's dots and there's colored cards. Now, when Arkham Horror has a 2,500 card box full of things, it will be a pain to upgrade your deck and make all those choices as well. But still, it's a better system. It's streamlined. Plus, the core set here focuses on three missions or three campaign or whatever they are, quests or stories, I guess. I don't know. Can't remember what they're called. So that's a very nice flow. Like, that's something you could play in a night, mm-hmm. right? In a night of a couple hours or whatever. And you could progress your deck and then reset it and play with a new character. They have these side missions now. These other scenario packs are ones you can optionally play in between. And then you could progress, so that would give you a bigger one. And then I imagine once they release, like, the packs, like, the Dunwich Legacy just came out, right? So if that's got three quests in it, or two, or whatever, and then you add six more in that cycle, I don't know if that's going to be a nine-cycle system, in which case that would get pretty long. Like, that would be something yeah. you'd have to play over several days. It would start to run similar to the saga in Lord of the Rings. But yeah, they definitely streamlined that system. That's nice in terms of all that, so... that's there. So the other things, like, you move to actual locations, that's a little more, you know, intuitive. You definitely read story in between. Like, Lord of the Rings almost has excerpts from the books, like
you
a
were
sentence
reading
or
stories
two
in there.
I was reading.
I don't remember that.
Well, you read, like, so, you know, as, like, the peril or whatever adds that system's interesting. There's a lot of there's a lot more like randomness or just, like, uncontrollable things, I guess, in the game. So, like, there's that peril. So in Lord of the Rings, it's just make progress. Mm-hmm. But in this one, it's also there's something worth doom, I think, right? And when it gets to a certain doom count, a new thing happens, and it might end it or put a bunch of monsters in play or whatever it is. And that's interesting because that kind of gives you a timer on the whole game. So that's an interesting system. But there's a lot of things like the, like you didn't play, but there's later missions where it's like there's 9 locations you can go to, and they're all face down. Well, I guess you played the one with like the 4 in the quarter. Sorry for spoilers, whatever. that's my opinion. It's not a big deal. But there's one with like 9 locations, and you just go to one, and then you read what it is. And in Lord of the Rings, they're out, and you pick based on like, well, what can we deal with right now, or what's a benefit? Like some of them are benefit, but not overall many. And I'm definitely, I like randomness because it leads you to just be like, well, let's just go there. Like you don't have to sit around and make a lot of choice, but I did find it a little bit annoying. Like, well, now I would go to that location with this character because I would definitely get this bonus and it would be easy to get. They do a decent job of like shuffle up this location. There's multiple copies in each game. It's a different one. And I mean, I guess in Lord of the Rings, when it's face up, you know what it is. So there's no, but it's, you're making a strategic choice as opposed to just a random, well, let's see what this location does.
Right.
So I definitely think Arkham favors itself to that. That drawing of tokens is very favored towards that. The whole just, well, you just got to push your luck sometimes. You don't have cards in your hand, or you got to put yourself at the max. And then you draw a token to just hope it evens out your luck. That's just kind of what they're going for. You know, yeah. So there's a lot more of that, which again, fits that Arkham horror theme really well. Mm. You know? I mean, I guess you could argue with Lord of the Rings, like it was pretty small odds they'd be able to do what they did. And Lord of the Rings is a lot of progress, 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 which is totally what they were trying to do. We're not trying to be the strongest, baddest heroes. We're not superheroes and we just beat everybody. We're just trying to progress, progress, get the mission going, you know. The Fellowship splits. That's also a spoiler, by the way. And you know, Samwise and Frodo go on because they split because that allows them to go on. They can continue to progress. So, you know, it fits in there. So, overall, I like Arkham Horror. And definitely there's that streamlining and being able to increase your deck, which is awesome. You know, adding cards without just, like, buying new cards, which is what Lord of the Rings basically is, right? The variety was pretty good. That core box is pretty fun. I mean, the Lord of the Rings box is junk. Like, when you say to somebody, hey, you should try this game, but you probably should play with me because just buying the core box isn't really the best experience. I mean, you basically can't play tactics in there.
I want to talk to someone. I wish someone from Fantasy Play would, you know, I'd like to find out why they don't do some sort of like add-on pack where you get extra copies of cards that are limited.
Right, at this point, even, are they really counting on people to go buy back? You know what I mean? Like,
but like, it's just frustrating because like, you know, I mean, I guess people do end up buying multiple copies of all the core sets, basically, of all the LCGs that come out.
Yeah.
Because they want to get every card that they can have to, like, add it to their decks or whatnot. But it's just, it's a little frustrating. It's like, I guess at the same point, like, why would they create a solution for something that hasn't really been a problem for them? Because people are buying more copies of, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's the one thing. I wish someone from Fantasy Play would, you know.
Yes. Yeah, so what I love about Arkham coming out is people are getting into it, and I think it's great to get into these, you know, solo LCGs. The theme, the Arkham theme is like, people love it, and I'm just like, cool, there's the Arkham theme. You know, stuff is gory, it doesn't really bother me that it's gory, but I prefer something that wasn't gory. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really averse. I'm not going to not play it because it's gory, but I prefer very much like Legendary, Ilian Legendary. Like, it doesn't really excite me that the cards are full of gore. Like, yeah! But I mean, it makes sense that Ilian is gory. Like, it should be. And right. Arkham should be, you know? But I can live without it. Like, you know, it's almost like, here's a beautiful picture of someone's eye being gouged out. Like, as opposed to, you know, just these great heroes and, you know, just like an event card in Lord of the Rings, it just like is an elf swooping in to save the day.
Right.
Like, that's a fun event. You know what I mean? It's just a neat, it's like a poster I want on my wall. I don't really want an eye being gouged out on my wall or whatever. again, I could take it or leave it, but there's people that just love that Arkham theme. I mean, they can't get enough Arkham horror, Arkham Eldritch horror, you know, whatever. They just want all the Elder Signs. So if you're into that, I think this is great to step in. If you're stepping into either, I think Arkham ultimately is a lighter game, but we can't say that until more stuff comes out, right? So it's not really fair. But mechanically, I think it feels like a lighter game. Now, it's not a light game. You know, it's definitely a medium game in terms of that. But compared to Lord of the Rings, it just seems like decisions are just, well, let's just go for it. Like, that's what it's trying to lead you to do. Just go for it. Like, you can't really mitigate everything and plan everything out.
And a lot of it makes sense. It's like, at least from what I played, like, the monsters are kind of, or whatever they are, they're kind of chasing after you, or you're fighting stuff, like, that's directly in front of you. I felt like with Lord of the Rings, even after having played, you know, a bunch of games of that, I'll still crack open the rule book just to kind of show where the like the progression of a turn and mm-hmm. where all the windows are for playing cards, just to like, you know, make sure, because there's a lot of like fiddly stuff going on in Lord of the Rings. You know, there's so much stuff that gets added to like when this happens, or like, you know, this adds this for this phase or something like that. You know, there's a lot of that where it's kind of, it is fiddly, and you could very easily miss something if you're not, you know, checking on each thing. Right. So I think that was one of, like, that was a, I think that's a pretty big barrier for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like Arkham Horror LCG has nearly what that was doing with that. So in that sense, it's totally streamlined, and I think it would be easier to kind of hop into this one.
Yeah. But, no, I think Arkham's easier to hop into. So. Yeah.
But I don't know, like, again, with the theme, I don't know if I'm going to be playing this with, you know, my family or anything like that. Right. Like, I don't think that's going to be where I'll bring this one out. Lord of the Rings would be much easier to kind of say, oh, yeah, let's play this, like, fantastical, just Lord of the Rings deck, and rather than, like, this kind of on the horror side of things.
Yeah.
LCG.
Yeah, and then in terms of just, like, other things that have irked me, you know, in comparing the two, is, you know, people saying, like, oh, well, you know, I don't like deck building, or I don't like doing that, and oh, it's so much easier.
Like deck construction?
I guess that's true. Like, they did simplify, because that's 30 cards, you can only have 2 copies, and Lord of the Rings is 50 cards, you can have 3 copies. But, I mean, if you just throw 3 copies of everything in, you get to 50 cards, like, instead of 2 copies of 50. Like, you know what I mean? So it doesn't seem like that big a deal. I guess there's quests in Lord of the Rings, like, where you have to have certain things and certain timing and whatnot, so you have to build a deck to beat each one, but you'll just kind of learn as you play. Like, I don't feel like it's that over the top. You know, obviously I've like net decked, and people can just net deck for that, which, you know, maybe that's just another barrier for, I have to find the site where I do that, and then I have to look that up so I can understand that. That's hard to compare. And then the other is just like the whole, like, well, Lord of the Rings would cost me $1,400 to buy into right now. Like, no way. You can buy it as you absolutely could buy it as you go. You could buy the stuff you like. Like, you hear people say this all the time. Now, I know I don't have the must, you know, gotta catch them all collector's mentality. So I understand that. And there are people out there that will say, but if it exists, I want it. Like, if I get into Lord of the Rings and I find out there's this pack from Gen Con 2012, I want the pack from, well, yes, that if you have that mentality, then yes, you should stay clear of that, because, you know, you will fall into that. But you could totally just buy things as you go, find out what pack the Bilbo Baggins hero was in because you want Bilbo, and buy it. Find the one with the Savent card with 3 copies and buy it. Buy this box because you're interested in going into Khazad-dûm. Or buy this box because you think it would be cool to sail across the sea. Like, whatever. You know, it's buy what you would have fun with and play that. Absolutely, if you get into Arkham, there's less. Because right now, I mean, Dunwich Legacy just came out. So you've got the core. If you end up buying 2, because they, you know, buy 2 to make the full decks. They did the same thing. Buy the Dunwich one, and then whatever those little packs are. I mean, that all that's going to run you just over $100. So that's not too bad. So that's certainly cheaper. But that part I don't understand. But still, I think Arkham is great. I think it's exciting for people to get into these LCGs. I've just loved a lot of the LCGs. I'm now like getting the Star Wars LCG thing going again because everybody's playing Destiny and then complaining that it's not LCG. And then I'm going, yeah,
but they have,
because there is a Star Wars LCG. And people are like, yeah, but I like Destiny. But I want, and I'm like, okay, then play Destiny. But I want Vader and his lightsaber, and I want Jabba, and I need two Jabba dice and this, and now it's going to cost me $300. I was like, I don't know, that's your problem. You're playing a collectible game. They're not going to make it cheap. They're not going to say, yeah, it's a collectible game, but you only have to spend $5. It would be pointless. And Star Wars LCG, I think, is one of the best games ever made. I think it's so well designed. It's just one of the toughest LCGs ever made. You know, it's very complex. Like, at first it seems very basic, like I attack full swing and then you attack full swing, and that's not what it's trying to do. I just totally steered into Star Wars LCG, didn't I? But anyway, LCGs are great, and whether you're playing Arkham or playing this one, I think it's really neat to have this game. And since you could do it solo, or if you had somebody you could play with, you guys could be collecting, even like switching cards and just saying, I'm gonna play these heroes and you play those ones, and we could switch. Mm. You know, to get you in, I think that'd be great. I think it's a great model. It's easy to just, you know, if you fall behind, then at your birthday, you just say, hey, I need packs X, Y, and Z, and you catch up. You don't have to feel that crazy, especially on the ones that aren't competitive. So, yeah, that's kind of my final wrap. So, totally love Arkham Horror LCG. Don't know if I'm going to buy everything for it, like, as it comes out. Right now I'm kind of on a buying hiatus a little bit here to begin the year, so I definitely know I won't be buying stuff now. I don't know where it'll go down the line. But I think that's great. I'm going to continue to keep up with Lord of the Rings for sure, so Arkham would just have to be, you know. But if I, you know, buy some things here and there to try new stuff, have a deck so when people want to play, I have one that I kind of feel like is my own. You know, this is my hero. Or character or whatever, that'd be cool. So
nice.
That's my final, what's your final thoughts on Arkham Horror LCG?
Yeah, no, it seems like a good starting off point. I'm interested in trying it out some more with, we, you know, with more, a larger card pool, and just, you know, I guess it's just finding the time to get it to the table. That's all.
And I'd like to play it with three or four, and have characters that can, like, do specific things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll go there and cover you from monster attacks while you do the investigation. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Right.
I think that would be interesting to actually be able to team up like that.
Yeah. I wonder, I know with Lord of the Rings, there were definitely, there were times where you could have, like, a dud of a scenario where it's just like, hey, we can't beat this.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how much, did you find that at all in Arkham? Where, obviously, it's a very limited amount of time that you've played it.
So, Arkham, that's another smart streamlining, is like, you can lose and move on.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you can't die and move on, like, straight up. But you can, yeah, lose, and they'll even give you outs sometime. I mean, I guess it's kind of spoiler, but, like, there are options where you could just go here and be done. Like,
okay.
I'm not going to try to complete that task, and what's the consequences of not completing that task? I move on. But things linger into the next, which is great. I mean, it really has that over Lord of the Rings, other than, you know, there's some neat things that progress. Like, you'll come across an ally in one pack, and then that ally could become a hero in the next pack. There's cool stuff like that, but that's definitely not on the same level that this does.
Right.
There's a little place to write stuff down, so.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Want to get it back, but,
yeah.
You know, other stuff will definitely take priority over it.
The Colonists. Cool. Well, that is our thorough rundown, as promised, of Arkham Horror LCG. So if you see us and you have decks ready, ask us to play, because we definitely would. Or if you have interest after trying Arkham Horror LCG and try Lord of the Rings, talk to us too, because we'd definitely love to show you that one in its full form. So there you go. There's our discussion topic on Arkham Horror LCG. All right, so for our what we love about today, we're going to do what we love about ...10x10. So we participated in the 10x10 challenge last year. You had some crazy 20x10, I don't even know. We had all sorts of different things going on. And so we're just going to talk through, you know, our experience with our 10x10s, what we played, how much of it we played, which is probably where should we start, what we played and how much we played. And then, I just want to talk about that. And then we'll talk about this year, what we're planning on doing if we have a plan. So I did a 9x10 plus 10x1. So I had these nine games I wanted to play 10 times. Mombasa, Glory to Rome, Castle Burgundy, Terra Mystica, Argent the Consortium, Kaelas, Imperial Assault, Shakespeare, Rebellion, and Through the Ages. So I wanted to play... That gives me 10. Weird. I just realized that was 10 games. I don't know how I ended up like that. 3, 6, not weird. Who knows? Anyway, so I guess I did something different. I wanted to play those games 10 times, and then I was trying to play 10 games that were 3 or more hours. So I started with a list, but then I just ended up doing any 3-plus hour game. So I played Arkwright, Brass, Madeira, Feast for Odin, Terraforming Mars, and Middle-Earth Quest. I was hoping to play Axis and Allies, Twilight Imperium 3, Rune Wars, World of Warcraft, or Forbidden Stars, and I didn't end up playing those last year. I was surprised I didn't play Forbidden Stars, because I really liked that from the year before, and I didn't get that to the table. The others were kind of older games that I was trying to get back to the table, and then these were the ones I did. Anywho, that's what I did. I ended up completing, I think, 65%. So I didn't get very close. Mombasa, I got 6 plays in. Glory to Rome, 8. I'm not going to run through the whole list. But Terra Mystica, I got close with 8. Shakespeare was 8. Rebellion was 8. And Through the Ages, I played 9 times. I didn't get to that 10th play. So those were pretty long games that I got in. You know, pretty big games. Right. I didn't have like a throwaway, like Codenames or whatever, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Or like a game with my daughter or something, you know, that I could have played 10 times. So I stuck to some pretty big games. So I was trying to basically say, here are games I want to get to the table because I haven't been getting them to the table. And I think people really like them. The ones that I was able to get to 6-plus plays were like people were enjoying them. Right. I was teaching them to people and they were enjoying them, so they were coming back out. Or I was excited to teach them other groups. Other games just didn't come back out as much. Argent the Consortium, my wife still really loves. I loved that game. It was like one of my top games. But after playing the 3 times I did this year, mostly 2-player, I just discovered, like, there's only so much, even with all that variability. Like, it just kind of breaks down for me. I still think it's a great game, but it just got to the point where it was like, I don't need to play this 10 times. So that was okay with me. I wasn't trying to do the 10x10 in terms of, like, mm-hmm. I need to complete my goal. Like, it's all about my goal, and so everybody needs to sit here and play Argent with me 7 more times. Like, I wasn't trying to make anybody do anything
right.
with mine, or make myself even. And some people would say, like, well, that's the point of the 10x10. Like, you make it so you really know. But I felt like after those 3 plays, I knew this is a game I would like to play once a year.
Right.
It's really fun, but I don't need to play it 10 times. And so that was kind of part of a goal. Whereas, like, Through the Ages, I was super excited. Like, I just love this game, want to teach it to people. But I know I really want to play that at 2 players. That's pretty much how I always play it. But by playing it 9 times this year, it solidified a top 5 spot for me mm-hmm. in my games of all time. Like, it's
yeah, for sure.
so good. And so that was awesome to be able to play that. In terms of that. Like, same with Glory to Rome. Like, Glory to Rome was just one of those ones. That was probably the one that was, like, the most, like, okay, I'm going to get this and play this with a lot of people. And I just love Glory to Rome. Like, the only not great game was you and I played a 2-player one time, and it was like, yeah, this isn't really a 2-player game. Like, it works.
I had fun.
And you could play it.
No, it wasn't.
But
it wasn't,
it's just not necessary to play 2-player. So,
right.
kind of had that discovery. Kaelas and Imperial Assault were probably the ones I was most sad. Kaelas, I really love, and I played it twice, and I really liked it, but it was just, it's a hard sell to break out. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing to it to, like, convince people to play it or to get it back. Or there's a lot of people that I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to teach them this game. Like, I'm not sure that that's something. So that one was kind of sad to me. I definitely would have liked to play that more. And then Imperial Assault, I just finding a group that wants to consistently play, like, that campaign. Now, maybe if I could find somebody, but it's just one of those games. I don't know how to break it out.
Right.
To me, I'm hoping it's something my daughter gets interested in, and we would just do the campaign, the two of us. Mm-hmm. My wife did say that she would try again this year, like playing where she's the Imperials and I'm the Rebels, and she thought she might like that. So that's the way I see that game getting played. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a group that's like, yeah, there's 4 of us or 5 of us, and we want to play, and we're all going to have a character. That's not going to happen. So it's really going to be like something in-house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I got a group of friends together, and there were like a bunch of kids that wanted to play and like their dads and stuff. And we had like 7 of us, But that we like played two in a night, and it just wasn't a group that like, oh, we're gonna get together on Friday nights like with all these people in play. It just wasn't gonna happen. So I still really like that game. I know it has the Star Wars thing. I would love to like level up the characters. I totally get into it. There's definitely a lot to keep track of there, but it's just tricky to know where that's gonna come out and play. The 3+ hour thing was neat, but I didn't really force any games. Like, I wasn't like, all right, I'm planning a Twilight Imperium 3 day, or I'm planning an Axis and Allies day. It was almost like if I did that, nobody was going to come. I didn't have people that were interested enough in doing that necessarily. Like,
well, you could have done it, like, through Meetup or something.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been a decent way to get it, so it's, like, solidified.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think we were as invested in that, like, at the beginning of the year last year.
Right.
It kind of took a little bit of time to really get into the groove. I know, yeah, I wasn't really focused as much on, like, playing games with, like, you know, all the people from there. You know, I think we've met a lot of people in the past few months, too, just...
Right.
Where it would be easier to get stuff dedicated to those styles of games.
And then just have one last thing, and then we'll go to yours. But then the other thing is, what I discovered is, I can't do a list like this without being able to do something related to new games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am getting demos from the store, going to conventions,
right.
Teaching tons of people games, learning new games all the time. So if I were to do a list similar to this, I'd have to leave two spots for like, okay, these are going to be my, like, Terraforming Mars.
Right.
I played that 20 times. You know what I mean? And so like, if we're going to Gen Con, which we're not this year, but it, like you have to leave something of demo, something, because that's just going to be what happens. Like, I don't know, Larry tracked, like, new games, and he played, like, 100-something new games. So it's just, you know, that's what happens. Like, that we just, that's what we do. We're cult of the new, I guess, in that sense. So there's that. So that's my last point on my kind of rundown of my 10x10 from last year. How about you?
Yeah, so I had 20 games. I think when we set it up, I was just trying to run through games that I wanted to focus on. Because I still hadn't been playing a lot of games multiple times. You know, like it still felt like I had a good sense of, like, the initial plays, kind of my first impressions of a lot of games without really being fully invested in, like, the strategy of specifics or, like, individual games themselves. So I threw up 20 games. A lot of them were, you know, a bit, like, medium to heavy. You know, nothing, like, I guess it's relative. I was going to say nothing over the top heavy, but I feel like there might be, like, if you're thinking Kanban, that probably is up there. But yeah, so I guess I didn't come anywhere close to finishing it. I've got Roll for the Galaxy that hit the table 34 times for me. So that could probably take care of three of those games, right?
But that was huge, because then you also told us that's your number one game.
Yeah, I wonder why.
So you found that out.
So next was, like, kind of that, like, one of those ones that you excluded. Like, Codenames was on the list of 20, just because I wanted to guarantee, like, I really enjoyed that. I'm not trying to defend it, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
this is on there.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly valid.
Because, yeah, it was one that I was like, okay, this was great. I don't want it to fall off the radar,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that one I played 21 times, and then the next highest was, like, 7 for Elysium and Deus.
Is Elysium playing with your wife?
A bunch, yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize you guys played that much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
No, that was fun.
I love that game.
I think that 7th play was one where one person had just, like, this, like, unstoppable sort of, like, it was one of those games where one player just completely ran away with it and was, like, doing all these cool things on their turn using all these abilities, and the other person was just, like, sitting there kind of twiddling their thumbs, like, going, like, yep, you're gonna beat me, but how much are you gonna beat me by, you know? So that was a little frustrating. I think that's why that didn't get to 10, you know. So that's just the status of that one, but those two were great. You know, following it up, there were, like, a few I wanted to get some smaller stuff to the table too, like the Grizzled. I didn't get that back to the table after, like, the first half of the year.
Yeah,
so that was a little
and even with the expansion coming in,
right? That was there. Race for the Galaxy and Glory to Rome were both at 5 plays. So, you know, I wanted to still play Race, even though Roll for the Galaxy was at the table so often. I wanted to see, like, what that looked like relative to the other one, and it's just you know, they're both great. I don't regret that. I'd like to play that a few more times. It kind of took off towards the end of the year, so I don't think we would have. I think we would have gotten it to the table at least 10 times if it was like.
Which one was that?
Focused on at the beginning. Race Through the Galaxy, sorry.
Oh.
So, yeah, if we'd been playing that early in the year, we definitely would have had that at the table 10 times, but it took a little while to really, you know, get there for us. Looking through this, like a lot of it, I kind of assumed, like, okay, you know, I'll try to get these to the table with my wife. But we've got a soon to be 2-year-old, and it just didn't feel like we were on the same pace for like learning new games or playing games. Like, Roll for the Galaxy was so easy for us just to get to the table. And I think that's kind of the biggest eye opener. It's like that one was so great because we had played it so much that, like, we, you know, we really got that good sense of it. We could just set it up quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, if our son was taking like a nap or something, we could just play a quick game, you know, and it was easy enough that way. So yeah, a lot of this other stuff was more, it kind of required some play outside just of like myself and my wife. So that was a little more difficult. You know, just trying to get stuff coordinated for those, like with all the new games that we're playing too. It's just, you know, plus everyone had, sorry, not like a lot of the group that we were playing with had their own 10x10s. So now all of a sudden it's like, instead of my games that I want, like there are like 50 games that people are looking at to fulfill like whatever they're doing for their 10x10s. So, you know, it definitely was eye-opening in that sense. But, you know, even after a few plays of some of the games, I don't think I could have gotten to 10 even if I tried. I think Agricola was one that I wanted to do more than I did, but, like, one play, and it just was, like, it was a really slow pace for, like, what was coming out of it.
Wasn't it multiple days?
This is a different game.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, no, actually it was. It was multiple days. But that was because, like,
yeah,
it was during a nap, and so that one was that one took a little bit of time. I don't know if La Granja would have gotten to the table 10 times after playing it.
That's
three.
That's a great game.
I really like. I thought I would enjoy it more. I think the three plays kind of made it peter off a little bit for me. So, you know, I want to get it to the table again, but it felt. After those three, maybe it's just because it was two-player, it felt like we were kind of doing similar things, or just, you know, it was fun, but it wasn't as much fun as I remembered it being. But I guess my biggest regret for the list was not getting a few of the games to the table at all, because when it got toward the end of the year, like, I kind of wanted to focus on a more selective group, but I really need to play the ones that I didn't touch, you know. I need to play in this year just to get them back and fresh. Concordia, Trois, Trajan, and Viticulture were like the four that I didn't touch at all. And those ones are those are four great games that I want to play.
Agreed.
It's just, you know, finding time.
I feel like multiple times I asked you to bring Concordia like with you whenever
and
you
I
asked.
Did.
I know, and we did.
Yeah, no, and
I
it's know. Just so tough, like,
that was like the one that kept popping into my head. Like, even Trajan, I think if I went back and played it, I'd be like, yeah, that's so good.
I feel like Concordia is the one that I've, like, thought the most about playing without actually getting it to the table.
Yeah, it's one that you just need to start setting up. It feels like La Granja to me. Like, oh, man, is this what I want to teach? Is this what I play? And then you start playing, you're like, yes, yes, this is what I wanted to play. So,
yeah.
Now, if you look at yours, like, if you turned yours into a 20x5 instead of a 20x10, you completed 70%.
Right.
So that's pretty good, like, towards, you know, doing all that. So I think that's, you know, you had the goal of 200 games, but if you look at, or 200 plays, but if you look at 100 plays.
Yeah,
again, like you said, switching gears, thinking about going to conventions, playing at the store, playing at meetups, trying to play with different people, like,
right.
It's tricky to do that, you know? Not everybody's like, yeah, I want to play Trajan 10 times, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's not, its value to me wasn't in the, like, the list. It was in... Here's a focus that you can kind of start off with. These ones are games that you want to play. You know, like, it's almost that, like, remind myself that these are ones that I want to get to the table. So I think that was just a good way to get it going. And, you know, the ones that I did play multiple times, like, you know, Mombasa or what else, like, you know, Terra Mystica, like those two were good before that, and then I played those a bunch more times, like, and those really established themselves in my own mind of like these are games that warranted being on this list, you know. So I think there's definitely like that some merit to it. It's just I don't think I would try it again as a pass fail in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. Like this mm-hmm. one's what I need to accomplish, or I have not been successful for the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Like, I never really looked at the 10x10 as, like you said, pass fail. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't, I have to complete this goal, and this is it, and nothing else. Like, no one will stand in my way. No, I won't play your game with you that you love so much, because I have to play this game that you don't like at all. You know, I wasn't doing that. I also feel like, in retrospect, like, the games that we picked, like that I picked, some of them just felt like 5 plays was really good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, 5 plays of Through the Ages would be really, I'd be plenty happy if I played Through the Ages 5 times every year or whatever.
Right.
Like, or in a specific year, you know, just encourage me to be like, yeah, I want to play that. You know, I probably will play that 5 times this year. I don't know. But 10, just for some games, it's just a lot. Like, even Terra Mystica, my favorite game, I got 8 times. And that was awesome. I taught 2-3 groups at the store, Terra Mystica. I played it with groups at home. I played it with my wife. Like, I got to play it at conventions. And I totally solidified that I love that game, you know? And that was great. And 8 plays totally did that. 10 plays wouldn't have made me say, oh, now I know.
Right.
And it just was 2 more plays of, like, okay, am I going to teach more people? Or, you know what I mean? It was just tricky to do. So, cool. So yeah, I think that's where that is, and I think I'd really, you know, if I were to do it, well, I'll talk about my 2017, but if I were to do it based on games again, mine would be a 20x5. I think that would make more sense, and maybe like even something in there of like new plays. I don't really know if tracking new plays matters. Like, oh, I need to play 50, like I just will play 50 new games. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. So that's just not something that's so worth it to me, but there's that. All right, so talking to 2017, I came up with this like halfway through the year, so a lot of people have already heard me talk about it, but I had the idea, you know, the thing that I try to fight so hard, and I guess I don't fight so hard, but I really want people to know is like, I like games because I like people. I like the social interaction. I like all the things. I mean, I definitely like the games too. You know, it's important to like the games. It's not just like, oh, whatever, we'll just play anything as long as we're together. You know, I like playing good things and teaching people about the hobby, that there's more games and whatnot. And then, of course, the Dice Tower slogan is like, you know, about board and card games and and especially the people who play them. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to focus on the people who play them and that whole aspect, and even just what I do. I mean, I am definitely a, like, quote-unquote board game evangelist, like trying to get people at my church to play, and trying to get people at the store to play games, and trying to get kids at my school to play games, and trying to get friends to come over and play games, and get families to play games in their houses. You know, I always want everybody to know, like, games is just a great place to be. So I made a 10x10 based on people this year. And so I have played 10 games with new people, which I've already played with one new person, play in 10 large group games, so 10 or more people, teach 10 games at conventions or the store. And I even, this is even like teach, like not even necessarily play, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like good with just teaching. So that one will probably be pretty easy. I, you know, all these you could argue like, okay, you have to contain it to this or that or the other thing. So if I can play teach 10 at conventions, like I'm already looking like at Dice Tower Con, if I can spend an afternoon just running around teaching, that'd be awesome to me. Like that'd be so fun to just be like, yeah, I just ran around and just taught people all these games I knew because they wanted to play them. You know, it's tough with like the new hotness. I don't always have access to it like other people. So being taught that. Give 10 games as gift. I gave 2 today. play 10 games at family events or gatherings. That's been happening a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of events, the kids are older and a lot of things for me, for my family, it's easier to sit down. So I definitely got several of that in last year. So I wanted to keep doing that. Play 10 people's number one or favorite game. I played Rebellion with John. He told me that Mansions of Madness is his number one, But Rebellion, after his last couple plays, might be his number one. So he said I could count it. So he was okay with that. So that was fun. Be taught 10 new games. I thought that was cool because I'm very often the teacher. So I thought it'd be fun for somebody to like teach me. So yeah. My wife learned a game and taught it to me. So that was fun. Which, again, you could argue wife is like cheating. Like you want somebody, whatever.
That wouldn't be the word I'd
use. Yeah, that's not a good word. Play 10 games of my wife's choice. Like, literally, she says, hey, do you want to play this game? Mm. So I told her to, so she knew that was on my list. I thought that was important for her to, like, initiate playing a game, basically. Yeah. You know, I said, you could be the sole reason that I can't do this. if you want to, you can wait till December 31st and then be like, okay, I'm naming these 10 short card games or whatever. Play 10 games in a new location. So I played Doggy Go with my daughter at Abby's Frozen Yogurt in town here. And I played at my friend's new house. So I thought those were new. So especially looking at that, at like getting a chance to play at maybe a board game cafe or I guess a convention would count. I wouldn't like keep counting that, you know, everything counts once
like
or
new
restaurants.
To you, you're saying?
Like a place I haven't really played before. Yeah. I you know, that one's, again, that people could argue whatever, but it's for me.
The counter.
And then host or organize 10 gaming days, and this doesn't include ones in my house. So
that seems like that'll be tough.
That'll be tough. I thought it'd be a blast to tell people, like, hey, if you're having family over and you think it would be fun to have 2 hours of games, like, not hire me, but invite me over. I'll literally just come and teach your family games. So, hey, podcast world. If you are running something at your house and you just want to have somebody that's there and helps teach games, I will come and I will do that. I figure also like our 24-hour events at the store would count for that. Like I'm helping with those. So you could count that like, okay, you've got two for free that you already know we're going to do. But anyway, whatever. So that was kind of my long thing. Again, you could argue all the ins and outs of this. That's not the point to me. It's just to focus on people. I mean, some of them are locations. Like, you know, if somebody has a great idea, you should do this. If you really care about people, great. I'll add it to my list and remove something else because some of them are locations, but I figure that's fun. Like, invite a friend and say, hey, let's go play at this restaurant. You know what I mean? That would just be a different feeling. Or, hey, you always come to my house. Let's go to your house and play a game. Like, I'd love to come over, you know, or whatever. So you have ideas for your this year? You have some games filled in and then you're going to...
Apparently, I didn't do that, but... But I've got games that are on my list that I didn't put on there.
Oh, I didn't either.
I'm assuming Larry did that. But yeah, he's got Great Western Trail and Vinhos on my
list.
And
you haven't played Vinhos.
No, but I'd like to. I did mention that to him, so maybe that's where it's coming from. And he probably wants to play it 10 times. I don't know if that's on his list.
Yeah, I don't know what he's got on here.
I don't see it there. So he's committing me to something a little bit more ambitious than he's ready to commit to himself.
Nice.
But no, so I guess those two are on my list and I want to, like, I'll add those other ones. I want to get those ones to the table that I missed out on last year.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So
I like
I'd say that would be an easy way to get this started. And I could see myself using this just, like I said, like as like a rolling, like these ones I need to get to the table.
Gotcha.
I want to get all these games. So I'll just, even if it's like one that, you know, like it might even be one that I've played 5 times, but I just want to like get it back and see if it's like a solid one for my overall ranking that I've got for the games that I've played. So, you know, I'll definitely add to it. I don't know if there's going to be like a solid static list like I kind of had last year, but yeah, no, it's cool. Like I know, like yours is intriguing. It's a little different. It's not forcing you into like these ones are the ones I need to play,
right?
And Larry is the other one who entered his stuff so far, and his is kind of a little bit more like it almost took a step back from like I want to play all these games to I want to play this type of game,
right? He's got themes and mechanics.
Yeah, so that's a good way to go about it too. I think it's kind of just more in that giving us focus of what we're trying to accomplish, be it with people or with games or just, you know, what we'd like to do, and, you know, giving that sense for everyone else too, where it's, you know, our group kind of knows, like, oh, these games are really enjoyed by these people, you know, like, and maybe we'll try to get something together to organize this game or
yeah,
stuff like that.
Right, or a theme night is what you could go for, right? Like, hey, guys, I'm going to have this theme night, invite a bunch of people, and that's what we're going to do, and I'll knock these out. But then it's the fun of the theme night, like,
yeah,
people could dress up or make cookies shaped like that or whatever, right?
So, yeah, I guess I do need to find something that I can get to the table consistently with my wife, too. Mm. I'd like to figure that out. And even try to get something, get a few more games to the table with her that aren't necessarily in our wheelhouse for the, I can teach this, and I don't have a ton of games where I feel like I know for sure that I can teach this no matter what the circumstance is. You know, there are a lot out there that I've played enough where I feel comfortable if I can do like a quick read through of the rule book. Obviously, I guess I'd need that for most games. And I'd imagine most people would just kind of as like that refresher, but there are a few games that I've played enough where I can just say, you know, we're hopping right in. This is what you do. This is what you're trying to do. Go. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
But.
Cool. Well, that's our idea for 10x10s. I think if you haven't tried it, I think it's a really fun thing to do. I guess know your personality type. Like, I look for mine. Like, I don't feel like my thing about people is like, oh, that's the best one. Because, like, it just fits my personality type. Also, like, neither of us were, oh, this has to be completed. So if you know your personality type is, if it's a goal, I have to complete it, then think about something like a 20x5 or a 10x5 or something that you feel is more reasonable. Or a rolling list that will allow you to complete it because, you know, because you don't want to get so stuck on that and feel like you didn't achieve a goal. You know what I mean? But I think it's a fun thing to do. I think it's a neat little thing to come across. Will I do it every year? I don't know, you know? But it's been fun to do last year. Actually, I did it for 2 years, and then this is my third year, and I just think it's a fun extra thing to do. It's not something I feel like I have to do. And again, like I said, with like playing a lot of new stuff, that becomes tricky where that goes on the list. So
yeah,
that's what we love about 10x10. So let us know what's on your 10x10 list or what you're thinking for 10x10s, or maybe something we could do 10x10 related at the store to like have customers track or something would be fun. So just give us some feedback and let us know what you thought. Woo! There we go! Episode number 36. Don't choke on your aspirations. And of course, our aspirations are our 10x10 lists for this year. And yeah, that was a nice podcast. I had almost forgot that the Cowboys lost like 2 hours ago. And I just remembered now. So, there's the downer. And the Patriots won! Ugh! Hello, what else is new? So, thanks everybody for listening. Good episode, and we'll be back with you in a couple weeks with another episode here. But until then, I am your host, The Brant, and with me as always is
your co-host, Brian,
and we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on January 15th, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.